Welcome to Squawk 5353, the Private Pilot Podcast, episode 47. I'm your host, Izzy Simon, a private pilot sharing my tips and tricks to make the skies a safer place. In this week's episode, we'll be discussing aircraft electrical systems. Stay tuned for all this and more in Squawk 5353. Before we begin this week's episode, I'd like to encourage you to consider donating to my Patreon. For those of you who don't know, Patreon is a way for you to financially support the show. This show takes a lot of time each week to research, write, record, and edit. It would mean the world to me if you went over to my Patreon and considered donating to the show. Another way for you to support the show is to subscribe to this podcast on whatever podcast listening app you're using. That way, new episodes are automatically downloaded directly to your device. And now, back to today's main topic, aircraft electrical systems. There are three primary functions of an electrical system. The primary function of an aircraft electrical system is to generate, regulate, and distribute electrical power throughout the aircraft. There are several different power sources on an aircraft to power the aircraft electrical systems. These power sources include engine-driven alternating current or AC generators, auxiliary power units, APUs, and external power. The aircraft's electrical power system is used to operate the flight instruments, essential systems such as anti-icing and passenger services, as well as cabin lighting. Electricity is produced in two types of way depending on their use. There's either direct current, which is from a battery, generator, or transformer rectifier, or alternating current from a generator or an inverter. Most aircraft are equipped with either a 14 or 28 volt direct current electrical system. The electrical system is composed of numerous components which power various systems of the aircraft. The first and arguably most important part of the aircraft electrical system is the alternator or generator. Alternators rotate a magnetic field inside stationary coils of wires. Alternators produce sufficient current to operate the entire electrical system, even at slower engine speeds, by producing alternating current, which is converted to direct current. The electrical output of an alternator is more constant throughout a wide range of engine speeds. Some aircraft have receptacles to which external ground power, or GPU, may be connected to provide electrical energy for starting, which can be very useful, especially during cold weather starting. Similar to alternators, but different, are generators. In the generator, the conductors are copper wires that are wound around an armature that is bolted to a drive pulley. As the armature rotates, the copper wires move through a magnetic field that is produced by permanent magnets, which produces electrical power. Generators don't produce rated output until engine RPM is in the mid-range of operation, typically about 1400 RPM. Pilots who have experienced the rapid dimming of a landing light as they reduce engine RPM on short final will understand one of the drawbacks of generator-powered systems. However, there are definitely some advantages with generators rather than alternators. With generators, they're not sensitive to errant electrical spikes or reverse polarity, and can produce electrical power even if the battery is dead. The next part of the system is the battery. Electrical energy is stored in a battery, which provides a source of electrical power for starting the engine and a limited supply of electrical power for the use in the event of an alternator or generator failure. Most direct current generators will not produce a sufficient amount of electrical current at low RPM to operate the entire electrical system. During operations at low engine RPM, the electrical needs must be drawn from the battery, which can quickly be depleted. The battery is controlled by the master or battery switch. The electrical system is turned on or off using the master switch. This would be the equivalent to turning your car keys to the run electrical components without actually starting the car. Turning the master switch to the on position provides electrical energy to all the electrical equipment and circuits except for the ignition system. Many aircraft are equipped with a battery switch that controls the electrical power to the aircraft in a manner similar to those of a master switch. Typically, right next to your master switch is your alternator or generator switch. In addition, an alternator switch is installed which permits the pilot to exclude the alternator from the electrical system in the event of an alternator failure. With the alternator half of the switch in the off position, the entire electrical load is placed on the battery. In that case, all non-essential electrical equipment should be turned off to conserve battery power. As a part of your electrical system, you also have bus bar, fuses, and circuit breakers. A bus bar is used as a terminal in the aircraft electrical system to connect the main electrical system to the equipment using electricity as the main source of power. This simplifies the wiring system and provides a common point from which all voltage can be distributed throughout the system. Fuses or circuit breakers are used in the electrical system to protect the circuits and equipment from electrical overload. Spare fuses of the proper amperage limit should be carried in the aircraft to replace defective or blown fuses. Circuit breakers have the same function as a fuse, but can be manually reset rather than replaced if an overload condition occurs in the electrical system. Placards at the fuse or circuit breaker panel identify the circuit by name and show the amperage limit. Also as a part of the system is your voltage regulator. A voltage regulator controls the rate of charge to the battery by stabilizing the generator or alternator electrical output. The generator or alternator voltage output should be higher than the battery voltage. For example, a 12-volt battery should be fed by a generator or alternator system of approximately 14 volts. The difference in voltage keeps the battery sufficiently charged. Consider backup solutions to panel gauges that you can plug into cigarette lighters if available, and ensure the digital voltmeter matches the electrical system, whether it be 12 or 24 volts. Another part of the electrical system is the ammeter or load meter. Ammeters are designed with a zero point in the center of the face and a negative and positive indication on either side. An ammeter is used to monitor the performance of an aircraft's electrical system, which shows if the alternator or generator is producing an adequate supply of electrical power. When the pointer of the ammeter is on the plus side, it shows the charging rate of battery. A minus indication means that more current is being drawn from the battery that is being replaced. A full-scale minus deflection indicates a malfunction of the alternator or generator, and a full-scale positive deflection indicates a malfunction of the regulator. Not all aircraft are equipped with an ammeter, and some have a warning light, which, when lighted, indicates a discharge of the system as the generator or alternator must have malfunctioned. There also is a load meter. The load meter reflects the total percentage of the load placed on the generating capacity of the electrical system by the electrical accessories and the battery. When all electrical components are turned off, it reflects only the amount charging current demanded by the battery. A part of your electrical system that many people forget about are the static wicks. Static wicks control electrical discharge into the atmosphere, isolating noise and preventing it from interfering with aircraft communication equipment. This discharge prevents buildup, which allows for satisfactory operation of onboard navigation and radio communication systems. Also a main part of your aircraft electrical system is your aircraft lighting. Aircraft lighting systems include both interior and exterior lighting arrangements. Externally, there are a variety of different lights. First, you have your anti-collision lights. An aircraft's anti-collision light system can use one or more rotating beacons and/or strobe lights, which can be colored either red or white. They assist others in gaining attention of an aircraft's operating position, particularly at night, where their use is mandatory. Care should be used during their operation at night when in the vicinity of others on the ground. This means their use on the ground should be limited to when required or when an engine is running, if their use otherwise risks blinding pilots operating nearby. In this way, when conducting a pre-flight, quickly check the function of the lights, then turn them off for the remainder of the walk around. You also have your navigation or position lights. Navigation lights are the red on the left wing and green on the right wing lights, which provide positional information of an aircraft. Additionally, a white light is placed toward the aft of the aircraft. When you take your check ride, it's more than likely that your DPE is going to ask you about your aircraft's specific electrical system characteristics. In training aircraft, there are two main competitors, the Cessna 172 and the Piper Aero. The Cessna 172 has a 28-volt DC electrical system, which is powered by a 60-amp alternator typically and a 24-volt battery. Power distribution module, or a J-box, is located on the left forward side of the firewall houses and all the relays. The alternator control unit and the external power unit connect within the module. Looking at the Piper Aero, it is only a 14-volt DC electrical system, which is again powered by a 60-amp alternator, which is belt-driven, and a 12-volt 35-ampere-hour battery. Alternator failures are not uncommon or unheard of in the aviation community. so it is best to be prepared in case you do experience an alternator or generator failure. First and foremost, you should go through the immediate action items. You should try resetting your alternator or generator by turning their switch and circuit breakers off and then on again. If the problem persists, turn the alternator or generator off. If you recognize that there's an electrical fire, turn off the battery and alternator, extinguish the fire, vent the cabin, then close vents and land as soon as possible. If you do experience an alternator failure, you must conserve battery power for the landing. It's best to get rid of non-essential systems, whether that be lights if you're flying during the day, or GPS navigation if you have the airport in sight. You should always try and maintain your radio communications, but if those fail, it's always best to have a handheld radio with you while you're flying. If you experience an alternator failure, you should try and land as soon as possible. You often hear that a battery will last 45 minutes after it's deprived of alternator energy, but that would be for a new battery that's in tip-top condition. An older, poorly maintained battery won't last nearly that long. Put a big electrical load on an older battery and you may have only 15 minutes of electrical power. That's one more reason why landing as soon as possible is the safest recourse after total electrical failure. You don't want to wait for the sounds of silence to learn that your airplane is now voltless. As aforementioned, a complete electrical failure in VFR weather conditions isn't nearly as problematic as one that happens in instrument meteorological conditions or IMC. In good day VFR conditions, you shouldn't need any nav aids or communication radios to fly to land at a nearby uncontrolled airport. Besides, you still got your handheld GPS aboard, right? As for landing at the airport with a control tower, well, there also are light gun signals. Night VFR is a little bit worse. With a complete electrical failure, there'll be no way to turn on the runway lights at uncontrolled airports, no landing lights, no position lights to help other airplanes see you, and of course, no way to communicate with your position to other airplanes unless you're smart enough, again, to pack a handheld transceiver. On IFR flights, pilots experiencing an alternator out situation should consider making one final broadcast to ATC before powering down. Tell ATC that you're having an electrical failure, declare an emergency, ask for vectors to the nearest suitable airport, or use your handheld GPS, and then continue the flight using a single radio and battery power. Leave the transponder on so that controllers can issue you heading and altitude information. With that in mind, hopefully you'll be landing soon. But in the meantime, power down flight in IMC can be as nerve-wracking as any other emergency. This can be made even worse at night if you don't have proper cockpit lighting outside of the electrical system. It's always best to bring a flashlight and make sure that you have fresh batteries in that flashlight. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Squawk 5353. If you enjoyed this week's episode, make sure to check out last week's episode where I talk about October aviation news. As I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, please consider donating to my Patreon. A link to my Patreon can be found in the show notes. Also in the show notes is a link to all the resources used in today's episode. If you enjoyed this week's episode, make sure to share it with a friend and subscribe to this podcast so that new episodes, again, are automatically downloaded directly to your device. Once again, thank you for listening to this week's episode of Squawk 5353. I'm your host, Izzy Simon, and let's make the skies a safer place.